call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Committee members present are Senator Coghill, Senator Geisel, Senator Stevens, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Wilson. This afternoon, we'll take up Senate Bill 93, Medical Providers Incentives Loan Payments. We heard an overview of this bill on March 25th. At that time, we discussed some potential amendments. We worked with the department, other committee members, and the Sharp Council to produce this committee substitute. Before you this afternoon is Work Draft 31-LS0598-U. Is there a motion to adopt this work draft as our working document?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we take the CS Senate Bill, CS for Senate Bill number 93, Hess, work version 31-LS0589-U, version as our working document.
Senator Geisel?
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. Changes made to the CS version A to U. Under this section, the first page, section one was under the legislative intent. The CS clarifies legislative intent is to increase the availability of health care services throughout the state, especially to the underserved individuals and health care professional shortage areas. References underserved. We are changing that to underserved individuals throughout this bill. On the same page, through line 10, that section, 1829-105, the CS clarifies the department employees can participate as non-voting members but may not serve in a leadership role. This establishes civil penalties that may not exceed $1,000 per person, which is on the next page, page 2, for both the participating employers and healthcare professionals. Section on page 3, starting page 4, next section. On the record. Next change, beginning on page 3 and also going through page 4 and 5 and continuing through, sets the annual maximum payment amounts for direct incentives per tier. As we went through, there's sort of three tiers, and each tier has two settings. Tier 1 is $35,000 for regular positions and $47,250 for very hard positions to fill. Tier 2 is $20,000 for regular positions and $27,000 for very hard to fill positions, and tier 3 is $15,000 for regular positions and $22,250 for very hard positions. The $15,000 for tier 3 was selected by the department after input from the stakeholders and is used in the physical note, which we'll go over here briefly. Next one, beginning on page 5. Is a Senate loan repayment section. This clarifies eligibility requirements for repayment of student loans. And section 1829-125, the repayments can be made for loans to students who are eligible under the section and of 18.29.130 eligibility, and then it goes through page 5, line 31, and page 6, lines 1 and 2 that meet the IRS definition of student loans. That result in a certificate or degree. And page 6, sections 1829-30, eligibility clarifies the student loan debt may be verified by the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. And just in case that the commission is not funded or goes away, we added the or the Department of Health and Social Services. That was for page 6, line 25, that language was to reflect since loans can be verified by the Alaskan Commission on Post-Secondary Education or the Department of Ed. Beginning on page 6, under the definitions, we added the definition for the term underserved individual on page 7, lines 26 through 31, and page 8, line 1, as a definition for the underserved individuals. That, okay. And note that the program benefits are available to those who must serve underserved individuals for eligible sites. We heard that from a couple of folks that were testifying and just wanted to have that clarification in there for eligible jobs. The eligible sites are on page 6, line 30, and eligible jobs are on page 7, starting on line 6. And additionally, version U deletes sections 7, 8, and 9 of the original bill, thus thereby removing all the language pertaining to any requirement of a doctoral degree for advanced practitioner registered nurses. This was the carryover language from HB 78, which created the original Sharp 2 bill. And there's some other language in Senate Bill 93 that allows a commissioner to add other healthcare professionals to Tier 1 and Tier 2. SB 93 does not change the existing educational requirements. And if the minimum degree requirements for an advanced practitioner nurse, or any other occupations were to change in the future, language in the Senate Bill 93 allows the occupation to move to the appropriate tier according to the department. And that is all. Any questions? Senator Coghill.
Just in the repealer section, you have 035 and 099. Which take effect in July, but the rest are repealed. Explain to me that again.
That's the effective date of this bill would go into effect in July. And so that's repealing it at the same time that this new Senate Bill 93 would be enacted.
And this is the Sharp 2 that's being repealed for the most part, right?
Yes.
I remember reading it, but I couldn't get my head back around the why the other 1829 codes were been flat repealed and one just had the effective date. So that's still confusing to me. So help me understand that. It's section 2, you have 2910 through 2999 are in effect on January. Oh, I see. Okay. What you're doing is repeal and replacing is what you're
yes.
doing. All right, got it. Okay. Good morning. I got it.
Senator Baggage.
Mr. Chairman, just very quickly, we had talked about the fiscal notes in March, and were those corrected, the little typos in the fiscal notes?
Yes, and after the adoption of the CS, we'll have Ms. Jill Lewis come up and do an overview of the note.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just help me understand. I think the additional from version M, you took out the requirement of a doctoral degree for advanced practice registered nurses, but you said that in some instances that may be required. I like doctoral degrees. I just hate to see us get rid of them. But so tell me about what that's all about, and are some positions required to have doctoral degrees and others not?
Thanks, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for clarification. An advanced practice registered nurse in the state of Alaska is not required to have a doctoral degree.
Mm-hmm.
The profession is moving that direction, and sometime in the next 10 years, perhaps it will become the level of entry. But at this time, it is a master's degree.
So there's no requirement then in any throughout any anybody getting an advanced practice registered nurse's position, there's no requirement at all for a doctorate. Is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that is correct. And the practice requirement for an advanced practice registered nurse in the state of Alaska is a master's degree.
Okay, thank you.
We also included in the bill the language that if that does change or any other items changes within the professional degrees required for any of the professional licenses, or programs that the department can thus move them to the appropriate tier level as needed. So we don't have to keep going back to the legislature to ask for these small little tweaks to pieces of legislation.
Sure.
Right. Any other? So no other questions? Is the objection maintained?
I'm removing my objection, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. At with that, we will adopt it, our new working document, version U. And Ms. Jill Lewis, do you mind coming up to go over the fiscal note?
Good afternoon. I'm Jill Lewis, Deputy Director for the Alaska Division of Public Health. In going over the fiscal note, first I will just mention that the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development has submitted a zero fiscal note. This was put in really for version A because it referenced an action that would be the Board of Nursing concerning. But those sections have been deleted in the current version. So, and then, so if there's no questions about that, I will switch to the public health fiscal note. So, in the public health fiscal note on the front page, this is a rather large fiscal note. It goes from $800,000 to $5 million in the course of the span that we show here. All of that is authority to collect the employer's contributions to us. It is no UGF. It is just the authority for us to collect and then spend the designated program receipts for the employers. The funding is split. There's a small amount that is used for personal services that will come out of the administrative fee that the employers include with their payments. And then the remainder of it is on the services line. Almost all of that is for the actual contracts with the practitioners. There is a change in revenue that is showing. That is $800,000 up to $5 million, which just shows that that's brand new revenue coming in, which is the revenue that will be spent on the program, which is kind of what makes it a net zero, money coming in, money coming out. You'll notice that in the third year, there is the addition of a new position listed. That's in anticipation of the volume getting to such an extent that we can no longer handle it with existing staff. The fiscal note also accounts in the services line for a small amount that would go towards a contractor if in year five, assuming that we continue to see growth in the program. At some point, then that extra staff person is going to need even more help.
Senator Begich.
Just a quick question. The tech is walk me through it. I'm looking at year three, which is FY2024, or is it FY2023? It's 24, right, where you shift the personnel line and the fiscal note goes from 153 to 238, but it's still 1.0 positions.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Begich. So, as the program grows, we will collect additional receipts in the administrative fee because that's a percent of the loan values that we collect. So as we grow the program, so will the administrative fees. And those fees that's will be to support initially an existing staff person who runs the program now.
Got it.
And then as it goes along, we will eventually have enough money that fully funds that person out of this Sharp 3, but we also will be able to have that fee on Sharp 1, so there's other resources here they don't have to fully support.
Any other questions for Ms. Lewis? Thank you. Is there any other questions or discussions on Senate Bill 93? Hearing or seeing none, is there a motion to move this bill from committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coghill.
I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 93, version U, from committee with the individual recommendations in this attached fiscal note.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill 93, version U, is moved from committee with the understanding that Ledge Legal is authorized to make any necessary technical and conforming adjustments. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. I just want to note that Senator Stephen was here for the discussion but was absent for the vote on Senate Bill 93. Thus, that concludes our business for this afternoon. Our Friday meeting is canceled. Next week, we hope to continue the return work to Senate Bill 1, the repeal of certificate need, as we're awaiting a CS, is why the reason that meeting was canceled. We will also hear on Monday Senate Bill 58, the repealing of the repealing of senior benefits programs by the governor. And thank you all for attending. Any closing remarks from committee members? Hearing none, we are adjourned at 1:47 p.m.